Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. Historically, the Amish culture has been a rural one, and up until the late 20th century, most Amish people lived on family farms, small operations with a dozen cows, chickens, a few beef cattle. And while farming continues to be a large part of the Amish community, small farms in general across the country have been consumed into larger farming operations, and in general, the number of overall farms have shrunk in number. Hence, many Amish have had to look to other ways of making a living. In some communities, fewer than 10% of households' primary income source is from farming. This shift from farming to non-farm or hobby farming is perhaps the biggest change in Amish society in recent years. While still rural, many Amish are moving to business and the world of commerce. Proving to be efficient and very successful entrepreneurs, hundreds of Amish-owned shops have appeared throughout Amish communities. Small and family-owned, many of these are handcrafted related, producing wood products such as household and outdoor furniture, barns, gazebos. But there are also retail stores for baskets, baked goods, greenhouses, quilt shops, etc. These small home-based shops have come to be known as heritage shops, since many of them are artisanal, and they pass on their knowledge of craftsmanship to their children. Many times, their advertising is simply word of mouth, or small signs posted at the end of their country lane. These cottage businesses, born out of survival and necessity, have carried on the strong work ethic and adherence to detailed craftsmanship, and these are the qualities that both draw the local and tourism dollars that keep them thriving, despite being in what many would consider the middle of nowhere in the heart of Amish country. In recent years, more people have been searching for what they call an authentic experience. It doesn't get much more authentic than to visit one of these family shops, often on a family farm or beside their home, and buy products right where they are produced. As our visitors have learned more about these heritage shops, they have become a favorite stop on tours throughout our area here in Holmes County, Ohio. Today, we'll be talking to someone very familiar with these backroad treasures. Troy Slabaugh, owner of Amish Heritage Tours, is not only from this area, but has spent many years showing visitors the area and talking about his own heritage and family roots here. Welcome, Troy.
Good afternoon, Missy.
I am so glad to have you on the podcast. I
appreciate this.
Well, we have been business associates for a number of years, been in the tourism end of things.
I don't even know how many years.
We won't go there. No, we won't go there. But one of the things I've always loved as I've talked to you is your stories of really the tours that you've given and the area and your knowledge and your background of, basically growing up here, right? You're
correct.
Local?
Seventh generation here, so.
That's incredible. So it's your roots go down very deep
they
here.
Do.
Yeah, and I love the name of your touring company, Amish Heritage, because and that explains it all. That's your background.
That's exactly what it's about, yes. And I just like getting rid of myths and just sharing heritage, and I just like talking and talking the real thing, you know.
Well, I know people find it really fascinating. One of the things about the Amish culture in this area is, by its own nature, it tends to be isolated, and that makes sense.
Right.
It's closed because they try to keep themselves separate from the world.
Right.
There's a lot of mystery sometimes with that.
There is, and because there's pockets of different sects of Amish, some are more closed than others, and that creates even a bigger mystery to the guests and visitors that don't understand that. And they say the Amish and don't realize sometimes that that's a different thing for different areas.
Exactly, because depending on, you know, where they're at, where they're located, what church affiliation they have, it's just like in the English world, you know, all Protestant churches aren't alike, right?
Exactly. So,
and, you know, whatever culture you go in, people are people and they're different. So I like the idea of kind of busting the myth of that the Amish are all the same or they assume that they're this or that, because many things have come out, especially with, I think, like with reality TV and different things that are just so far from the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. So far away. And even when things are brought up, the answer really can sometimes be yes and no.
I love that. Yes and no. Yeah, exactly. Because are you talking about, you know, the Swartzentruber Amish? Are you talking about, you know, the Dan Amish? Are you talking about New Order Amish? What are you actually talking about? So kind of clearing up some of those things for people, I think, is part of the enjoyment and fascination for people who come and visit, because as they go on a tour with you, well, walk me through that a little bit. Say I sign up for a tour with you. Where do you take them?
Well, I like to try to focus on back road, authentic Amish locations. Now, I do try to customize it for what their interests might be, but in all cases, I like to do back roads and stop in at houses, shops, just places that are not on the beaten path that they can just walk into.
Mm, and the interesting thing is some of these are, I mean, they're people that you know and you've met, obviously, right. But some of them you've had long-term relationships with.
Long time, and honestly, some are relatives. Mm-hmm. And even some of the baking or candy and things like that, those are relatives. That it's kind of funny because I get teased a lot once they hear my name, and then they see signs out as we go around. They're like, oh, you have a bakery. Oh, you have a furniture store. Oh, you have an engine shop, because it's all, none of them are connected to me, but
right,
the name
right,
is
but
there.
It could be, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of connections, shall we say, in
and
the Amish community.
It's funny through that you can even tell where those connections are at by that name.
Exactly.
Because even that is regional. And it changes a little bit because the dynamics are changing and people are more, even though they're Amish, they're still in different Amish communities. They might be in Iowa or Indiana or whatever from Holmes County. So a little more fluid, would I say, than they used to be. But mm-hmm. still, you can tell from the name where their heritage is from.
Right. Well, and the interesting thing, I mean, Slaybaugh or Schlabach, right? Sometimes they're pronounced the same, but they're spelled different.
Correct.
So, you know, you have to wonder, were they at one time connected and they came from different areas?
Right.
Or
interesting to know, though, that name means lived by brook.
Bach. Oh, really?
Bach means Bach? Brook.
Okay.
But some of it is the English pronunciation, some is Amish. Mm-hmm. I literally have my father and his brother, or my uncle, spell the name different. One
really?
Left the Amish and changed it, and one didn't change it.
Yeah, that is so funny. Troy, I remember growing up as a kid, I found one of my father's old school books. I knew it was his handwriting. He and his family immigrated from Germany, and our last name was Kepf, K-O-E-P-F. And it was high school lit book. And it said Frank, K-O-E-P-H. I was like, what? I mean, I'm a senior. I'm like, are we spelling our name wrong? What's going on?
Right,
what's going on?
Right.
And he just laughed. He said, you know, sometimes it's just easier to go with the flow than fight it.
Right.
And so I get that. When you try to anglicize right. a name, sometimes it ends up different
same
spelling.
Same name from the roots. Like Holmes County is Schlabach. Hartville is Slaybaugh, spelled a little bit different. And that's because our forefathers are a little different mm-hmm. from the King. But yet the same, even though the forefathers are a little different for what valley they came from, but there's still the same connection, the same root.
That's pretty interesting. It's funny. I'm sure, and with seven generations behind you, you can go back quite far
right.
and look at your heritage and how you came to be in this area, where they came from, and so on and so forth. So that's got to be pretty interesting.
It is. Now, our roots are Swiss, and that makes a difference, too, because a lot of German, but ours are Swiss. In fact, my grandfather was over there and took pictures of cemeteries and things like that from forefathers that from the Swiss side of things.
Pretty fascinating for people today, I think, to look at that. Now, I mean, locally, we have a great resource for that. If
we
you
do.
Don't have it in your family records, you can...
Right, we do through Bay Hall, but... I think culturally even, that's a thing too. This is my own personal opinion, but I'm not sure that mainstream American youth today even look at that. But culturally here, we do.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
maintain.
And is it a small town thing? I don't know, Troy. I feel like maybe we're more connected to roots because we're smaller, or it's, I don't know. I'm fascinated by history, and I grew up with a large extended family. And so that's, you know, genealogy and who's
right.
connected to who, and part of that was the small town that I came from, and so...
It's not even there anymore, and yet you can go there and kind of feel it, even though it does look different now than it did then, but you still feel that connection.
Yeah. So back to your tours.
Yes.
Okay, I'm taking a tour with you today, Troy. Where would you take me if I was interested in... Say, I want to see some artisan craftsmanship.
Hands-on
places.
Things. There's... Well, quite literally, there are basket makers where we can go right into the home, broom makers where they'll demonstrate making brooms on a 100-year-old machine, candle makers, buggy makers, of course, bakeries and things. It might be produce even or quilts, literally where they'll have a what we call a shop that might be more like some people would think of it as like a backyard shed that they would have their lawnmowers and things. But here you can go in there for pottery, just all kinds of generational things that keep going from one generation to the next.
So it's taught, handed down from family. Wow.
So, and that's why I kind of try to customize a little bit, because you literally could take a week if you wanted to go to all of it.
I know, people don't realize.
What interests do you have, you know, kind of thing.
How many of these smaller industries, cottage industries, heritage shops, some people call them,
right.
How many of those are out there just on the back roads of? And honestly, people think of, you know, Amish country as being maybe one spot, but it's not. It's a large area, and it covers a number of little towns and lots and lots and lots of back roads.
Right.
So,
and even like furniture, we can go to furniture shops is another one where you actually get into the real back road ones where it's one person working on a table saw and that's it, you know, one piece at a time. But probably, and this isn't like official, I'm kind of guessing, but I would imagine if you really started looking, you probably could find 100 different furniture. Now I'm talking about the back road,
right.
One person kind too, but 100 different people can make a custom piece of furniture.
Wow.
But you can't even find them if you're not on that back road.
Right. You have to know where to go and where
right.
to look, which is why having a customized tour by someone like you who knows the area and knows the people is so key. And I feel like a lot of people miss that. Like they'll come into town maybe for a day, and maybe they'll come back and do some of the same things along the 39 State Route 39 corridor. And that's wonderful and that's awesome. But boy, I just really would encourage visitors to stay an extra day and get off
exactly.
on those back roads.
And I tell them that even personally, they don't have to be with somebody too, mm-hmm. you know, but just, and I tell them that, you know, turn your phone off because you'll be on roads that the GPS doesn't even work. In fact, if you went down by a charm, there's actually where you turn on a dirt, 50% of our roads are dirt roads. People don't even realize that when they're visiting mm-hmm. the 39 corridor, and you get down by 161 kind of going towards Charm, and they actually have a big sign up that says, this road is not on GPS and trucks will not fit. It's a handwritten sign, you know. Somebody must have gotten tired of trucks turning
right.
around in their drive or
and
something.
Getting
you know,
stuck or getting them out of trouble trying
right.
to get
but
down
yet,
that road.
That's the kind that's so interesting. So I tell them, just take a back road. If you see shingle, a sign hanging there and says welcome, then that means it's welcome. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Any day but Sunday. On those kind of places, definitely any day but Sunday. But they are the friendliness abounds, and they are so talkative. I stopped just down the road at a backside stand to pick up some vegetables and syrup on the way here even, and it probably took me 3 minutes to buy the vegetables and 20 minutes for them to be talking about people there. But that's the neat part, is they are so open and friendly.
Yes,
they're not, you know, we say closed, and they are culturally, but not necessarily personally.
Exactly, that's a perfect way to describe it. They really are, and they love meeting people as much as people love meeting them finding out about them. So I think that is one of the unique things of the area that we do have to offer people, that you come and you feel welcome. It's the community and the atmosphere, and it's really in the DNA of the area
right.
to be hospitable to other
right.
people.
And you know what I like about that too, Missy, that's different than mainstream business, is the honor system. No credit cards, cash only, and literally there'll be a plastic ice cream tub or toolbox there, and you just simply put your money inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell people that, you know, especially if they're planned in advance, it might be a group coming or something. It's like, bring cash, and there won't be a clerk there. So you're just going to put your money in the tub. And
yeah.
that's, and they are so amazed by that.
Yeah.
Even here, like in Berlin, things stay out on the sidewalks and things, and people are just, that just shows the type of community that we're in. You couldn't go to some cities and leave your plastic bucket of money on the sidewalk and expect it to still be there.
That's for sure. I mean, even with locked cars, things get broken into.
Right.
So it is a whole different world here for sure. And I think it is one thing that people do appreciate and enjoy while they're here. It is like kind of stepping back into time.
I think they sense that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of that is just, it's who we are.
Right.
It's the identity of the community. And again, because of the solid foundation that's been laid here, not just for the people who live here now, but as we've talked about, you know, the heritage of all those past generations and what's been handed down. It just keeps going. Yeah, and I don't see that. I mean, change is inevitable, yes, but it will change slowly here, and a lot of things won't change.
Right, and change, you know, there may be, I guess I'd call it material change. Like, there's a discussion today about cell phones and e-bikes and things like that, so that kind of physical thing, but the change of the culture, that connection, that family, that's not going to change, I don't believe. And that's what I still respect from even growing up. You know, growing up, every night when we were done with dinner and everything's cleaned up and all that kind of thing, before we went to bed, we all played a board game on the table with the kerosene lantern burning. Every night we were together as family. And when it was over, that was it. We went to bed. No arguing or anything. But that connection, that feeling that you get, is just, that's what is not going to go away, because family and community is still family and community. You know, whether they're changing a mode of transportation or not in some areas doesn't change what's happening within the home and that connection.
Exactly. Now, Troy, did you grow up Amish? I know your heritage is Amish.
Actually, I did not. My heritage is Amish. My great-grandfather didn't pass away till I was 17, so I was old enough to know him. He was older Amish. My grandparents were older Amish. My father did leave the church. So we grew up conservative Mennonite, Holderman Mennonite. We were very strict. In fact, back then, some people called you the Black Bumper Mennonite. It was very, very conservative, even in some of the clothing styles and things. But it still is not Amish.
Right. And but your connection with your family, was you still had that?
Even still today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandparents have passed away now, but I've got aunts and uncles.
Yeah.
Cousins.
Lots of cousins. How many cousins do you have, Troy?
Well, we know that I have over 100 first cousins. That you literally know them. You get that are from the community.
Yeah.
That you don't just know them on paper.
Yeah.
But
and
you know them.
Through the years, you meet at family functions and all of those things. So,
yeah,
that's crazy.
And so those cousins, you know, they're my age, and so now they all have children who have children. So the extended cousins are growing.
And forget that. I mean, 100 cousins, how can you remember the name of their kids and their kids? You need a computer to figure that one out.
It's kind of funny, even just meeting people just down the sidewalk or whatever, and they'll start talking, and they're like, you know them? Like, yeah, that's a cousin. And later on, yes, that's a cousin. And they're like, how many do you have? They all know you. I said, well, the ones that aren't are still from small-town communities, so they still know who you are.
Right, exactly. That is small-town. Small-town USA, probably all across the country, the small towns where people are connected because they've stayed in the area and bigger families. You know, I don't know if it's because of the rural area, certainly with the Amish. They still today have large families, and so that makes a big difference,
too. They do still. They're smaller than generations before me, but they're still quite large families. And, you know, growing up and all that, too, I went to a Christian school. But it was funny because if you did something at school, you barely wanted to go home because they knew it before you got home. It's like, yeah, we already heard.
I think that's our age telling on us there, Troy. I don't know. I grew up in a small town as well, and that was for sure because everybody knew everybody else. And that's part of the charm and also part of the frustration when you're young, maybe. But what I did is I moved away from my small town and I came to somebody else's small town. So I've got the best of both worlds there, right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So Troy, when you, let's talk a little bit more about the tourism end of things and what you've seen when you look back. When did you begin with the tours?
Well, I actually started 35 years ago or so. 34, 35 years ago, and I actually was doing one-hour tours inside an Amish home right outside of Berlin here down at Schrock's on days off. I worked for the fire department. I did that on days off. And I had a cousin who, through them, did step-on guides on buses, on coaches that came in. And I'm in there on a Saturday doing these one-hour tours, and Joanne comes in and says, hey, Diane, your cousin she's sick, she can't get on the coach today, I need you on the bus. I'm like, I'm not getting on the bus. And it was just thrown into me, literally. And it's like, what am I supposed to do all day? And they said, well, here's the itinerary, you know where everything's at, just talk about your culture and go to these stops. But ultimately, I loved it because on the one-hour tours, though they were fun, you didn't have any connection. It was 1 hour and they went on and you started the next one. But with being with them all day long, the connection changed.
Mm.
And I'm like, I was panicked in the beginning. I literally said, I am not getting on that bus. But ultimately, it was one of the best tours I've done as far as that connection I'm talking about. It's like, well, this was a lot of fun. We laughed and joked and carried on, and they conversed with me as much as I did with them. And
yeah, I got a chance to kind of
That's what started it all, and it just grew from there.
Yeah, so. Wow. What's the biggest change you've seen? We've talked about changes maybe coming slowly here, but there have been a lot of changes.
There have been a lot of changes. I think, wow, there could be there's several things out there, but just seeing the change in the area physically because the Amish culture, Amish Mennonite culture is growing. It's doubling its size every 17 and a half years. So, but land is not growing. So where to put everybody when you want to remain small and remain close to family? I mean, I literally have family who have been married 40 years and they live across the road from where they were born.
Right,
so when that kind of, the very culture we were talking about that connects you, how do you continue keeping them that close when there's more to keep that close?
Right.
So, and land is not getting bigger. So that's one of the bigger changes. And so the farm has changed a little.
Mm.
I actually have some relatives that today, maybe the last 10 years or so, where they literally will give their married son or daughter 5 acres off of the farmstead because it keeps them close, but yet they don't need the big 100-acre farm anymore the way they used to. They just need a pasture for the horse. And so now they've got a 5-acre farmette off of the original family farm. And so they're still there. But because of that, the makeup of the look of the area, there's more houses. Even though we're still rural, you see more of that. Neighbors aren't as far away as they used to be in general. So I see a lot of change that way, but not all change is bad because that change still keeps the culture and the family connected here. And to hear the next generation talk so often even about, because of that closeness, about the grandchildren can just run over to my house. They're just right there.
They're right there,
right there. They don't, you know, they're not across town in a city or something. You know. So I see that change, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad change.
Yeah, I hear you. And honestly, change is inevitable for all of us. It's going to happen. So we have to kind of figure those things out as we go along. And I'm thankful that the focus hasn't changed for the Amish community, you know, the faith, family, community. That's very important to them. That's never going to be trivialized. That's always going to be of utmost importance. So, Well, Troy, it's always so fun to talk to you. You've got so many stories of tours and some of your heritage stories I love, and I really appreciate you coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoy it. And just because of these things, you get to talk about you and the area. And
everything.
And it's real. It's not just a scripted line or something.
It's authentic.
And it's authentic, and every conversation, every group of people, every visitor, it changes depending on where that conversation is going.
Right, you know, because it's not a one-way street,
right?
Right, that's what I love about it. Yeah, well, thanks for being on the podcast with me today.
You're welcome.
And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that according to an analysis of federal jobs data, jobs in Holmes County, Ohio, increased nearly 200% from 1980 through the middle of 2018? Those economic gains in jobs and income are attributed in large part to the Amish, who make up about 40% of the population in Holmes County. Lacking many of the advantages researchers say are necessary for growth, such as large cities, infrastructure, and employees with higher education degrees, this rural county continues to grow and prosper. Many say that it is due to the old world practices such as hard work, community cooperation, and generosity, which this area does very well. And now you know.